This is the Quality News Network. In Jerusalem, the latest Middle East summit ended today with little progress except an agreement to meet again for more talks. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice met with Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. In Iraq today, a coordinated insurgent attack on a U.S. base north of Baghdad killed two American soldiers and wounded 17. Eight Iraqi police officers were also killed. It involved at least three suicide car bombs as well as 50 gunmen who opened fire at the outpost. In the Baghdad area today, at least 22 people were killed in several bombings. Despite the joint U.S.-Iraqi security crackdown, a massive car bomb attack yesterday in a Shiite area killed at least 63 people. The U.S. military says an American Marine was killed today in the Sunni-dominated Anbar province. Since Friday, five American service members have been killed in fighting there. Also today, a roadside bomb explosion southwest of Baghdad killed three U.S. soldiers and wounded two. The New York Times reports today that al-Qaeda has regained strength in parts of Pakistan in the tribal area near the Afghan border. American intelligence officials say there is increasing evidence that Osama bin Laden's deputy, Ayman al-Zawahiri, has built up training compounds for militants who are preparing to strike targets beyond Afghanistan. President Bush today marked the President's Day holiday by comparing the American Revolutionary War to the war on global terrorism. He said, quote, "The father of our country believed that the freedoms we secured in our revolution were not meant for Americans alone," end quote. In India, two bombs went off on a train, causing a fire that killed at least 66 people late Sunday. The train was headed for Pakistan. The devices were described as crude and homemade. Iran has started a new round of war games, according to the Iranian state media. It's the second round of military maneuvers this month. In London today, a school janitor was arrested in connection with several recent letter bombs. At least 9 people were injured in the attacks. In New Jersey, civil unions between same-sex couples took effect today. New Jersey is the third state in the U.S. to offer the civil unions, which provide the legal benefits but not the title of marriage. And avalanches in 3 western states have killed 6 people this weekend. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Business and science coming up next.
Hueyl-Hauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking.
What are you looking for in your business bank?
Somebody that can offer me services such as car loans, equipment loans, leases, a line of credit.
And do you think because they're local, they understand your needs better than a bigger bank would?
Yes, I think they're really aware of the community and are here to help the small business people.
So it's a local bank with big bank services?
Absolutely. They're here on a regular basis to make sure if there's any other services they can provide, they're here to talk about it.
Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
We searched out a bank that would have the flexibility and the understanding of our needs and a willingness to spend the time doing that.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
Three climbers who were stranded on Oregon's Mount Hood overnight were rescued today. The climbers, two women and a man, fell off a ledge Sunday. They were well-equipped and had mountain locator units. The USDA announced a recall of Oscar Mayer Lewis Rich ready-to-eat chicken breast strips with rib meat. The packages may have been contaminated with listeria. There have been no illnesses reported. JetBlue has canceled a quarter of its flights today in the wake of last week's snowstorm, which caused lengthy delays for passengers. The airline hopes to have operations back to normal Tuesday. Meanwhile, JetBlue's founder and CEO told the New York Times today he was, quote, humiliated and mortified, end quote, by the massive flight delays last week. Some passengers were stranded on planes at New York's JFK Airport for up to 11 hours. during the Valentine's Day snow and ice storm. European aircraft maker Airbus delayed a news conference today to announce its restructuring strategy. The company also canceled planned meetings with unions. XM and Sirius Satellite Radio, the two main providers, announced a merger today. The two companies negotiated the deal over the weekend. The CEO of Sirius will become the chief executive of the new company. And an Indian company will spend up to $2.5 billion in a partnership with Walmart to build stores in India. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramoff.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
and amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
All right, everybody, welcome aboard Foxed Up for a Monday afternoon or Tuesday morning, depending on where you reside. And, oh, it's a happy day! Auntie Agnes is back home! Back in the control chair, Agnes Kincaid has returned. All is well with the network. Our den mother is back. Welcome aboard, folks. I had to say that because, man, it's just amazing what happens when, you know, a couple people end up having to pull themselves out of the loop for a while. All hell breaks loose. And we all missed you desperately, Agnes, and it's great to have you back on the other end of producing this program. We got heaps and heaps and heaps and heaps of stuff to do today, folks. I'm getting questions. Den mother? I don't know why that came out. Anyway, let's move on. a few interesting things. As the environmental and water debate heats up here in Australia, and the Iraq debate, poll numbers have been doing some interesting things over here. For the first time in a long, 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 long time, the opposition here in Australia has overtaken the Prime Minister John Howard in extensive polling as preferred Prime Minister, and the ALP is blowing away the coalition by a full 8 points at the moment. And these are all good things, fueled by some just wonderful performance from Mr. Kevin Rudd, who's just been absolutely outstanding over the past few weeks, bringing the debate to the forefront. And you'd be amazed if you I think Australia has finally caught on that we're in a serious water crisis here. The discussion is just everywhere in the media. There's a new current affairs program on here on the ABC here called Difference of Opinion, where debate come discussion program. And last night's subject was on the water crisis, and they had various water experts and whatnot on from kind of across the spectrum. One of the gentlemen who was involved in research for the federal water project that Howard's talking about at the moment, someone from the Australian Conservation Fund, CEO of the Murray-Darling Water Basement Irrigation Program, and I can't remember where the other one came from, but everybody basically said we got to do everything at once right now because it's bad. It's bad. Now, we actually had some serious rain here last week, which was wonderful. And for the first time in a year, the water table in New South Wales actually went up a couple of points. We went from, 33% of capacity to something like 37%. So, you know, we need a good month or two of rain like that to get us seriously out of trouble. But anyway, that's not really what I was going to get on about today. Got heaps of stuff to try and get through today. Now, On Australia's environmental front, I think this is a very cool thing. Light bulb ban coming to Australia, looks like. And from the Sydney Morning Herald, we have here, it says, the inefficient standard light bulb could be phased out within 3 years to save up to 800,000 tons of greenhouse gas emissions. The Federal Environment Minister Malcolm Turnbull, who I don't really like, but this is an okay move, is expected today to announce a commitment to phase out incandescent light bulbs by 2009-2010, a world first by a national government. It hopes to convince state and territory governments to introduce energy performance standards that would lead to the replacement of standard light bulbs with more efficient but more expensive alternatives such as compact fluorescents. We'll also negotiate with manufacturers to phase out the bulbs. Now, even a $10 compact fluorescent pays for itself in 12 months. They even, you know, make the point here. Energy Australia says by using just one 15-watt compact fluorescent bulb instead of a 75-watt standard bulb, consumers could save about $10 a year. And lighting can make anywhere from 12 to 25% of Australia's greenhouse gas emissions. So this would be a good thing. Now, I don't like Turnbull because I believe he's got his nose straight up the rump of the coal mafia. So, we won't see with this guy any of the really big changes that need to be made as far as, you know, abandoning the concept that clean coal is a reality that can be implemented sometime soon. And various other issues, because he was a denier up until, well, the polling got to be so strong of the Australian people's concern over the environment that John Howard and the Liberals had no choice but to get on board. However, you know, they're going to try and play, they're still playing too much politics with it. They got to stop with the politics because this is really a nonpartisan issue, which is where we need to continue to drive the conversation, or else we're not going to get anywhere. I'll take every step that comes. Seriously, it's a situation where we need to just, you know, and this is globally, we need to reassess how we run our daily lives. And, you know, there was an argument last night saying, you know, why should people get used to less water? We're a first-class nation. We have a standard of living to maintain. And someone made the response of, well, isn't it an intelligent nation that lives within its means? And I think that I think it was a great statement by just a, you know, general public person the general public's not as dumb as we sometimes make them out to be. Me being one of them. But anyway, it's coming up on quarter past the hour, and we're going to take our first break and come back and talk about, ooh, George Jetson folding cars. We got stuff on cancer and GM potatoes, and we have our track of the day, and we're going to do some Stevie Wonder today. So stick around. If you want to get in on the program, you can dial in at 1-877-443-2366 or email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. And we will be right back after this on the Head On Radio Network.
Took a cab to the shopping malls. Bought an angel he could do neither anymore. Then found love on channel 44. La, 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 la. He wants to go to magic.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you. What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Well, let's go. Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
And drugs and rock and roll.
Ah, you now make the world go round. Anyway, welcome back to Foxed Up, everybody. Move over George Jetson. I just think that this is one of the coolest things I've seen in a while. MIT Stackable Foldable City Car. Now, this comes via our good friends at treehugger.com.
and they link to a Boston, I believe it's a Boston Globe story. And it says, researchers at MIT are building a prototype of a lightweight electric vehicle that can be cheaply mass-produced, rented by commuters under a shared-use business model, and folded up and stacked like grocery carts at subway stations or other central sites. It's called the City Car, and the key to the concept lies in the design of its wheels. The MIT team has transformed the lowly wheel into a robotic drive system that will power the City Car. Embedded in each of its four wheels will be an electric motor, steering and braking mechanism, suspension, and digital controls, all integrated into sealed units that can be snapped on and off. And you go to the Boston.com article, it continues on. It says, under the hood? Well, there won't be a hood. On the City Car, just an eggshell-shaped glass plate, part roof, part windshield, framing the modular cabin and stretched almost to the chassis. We're eliminating the internal combustion engine, said Media Lab research assistant Ryan Chin, studio coordinator for City Cars. He said the four electric motors will enable a more efficient use of power by also dispensing with the transmission and drive line. We're removing as much of the hardware from the car as possible. In its place will be software that sets passenger preferences, changes the color of the cabin, controls the dashboard look and feel, and even directs drivers to parking spaces. We think the car is a big mobile computer with wheels on it, Chin said. The car should have a lot of computational power. It should know where the potholes are. And like a computer, the car will start with the push of a button instead of a steering wheel, it has handlebars, akin to a scooter or motorbike. But the ride will be more like a traditional car, though smoother and quieter, Chin said. The body of the car will be made of lightweight composite materials such as Kevlar or carbon fiber. Now, they're looking at having these things, the prototype happening and running around campus by the end of the year. And if you go to the Boston, if you go to Boston.com and find this story, there's an interactive graphic about the City Car, and it shows you how the thing folds up on itself. And by the graphic, it looks as though you'd be able to fit, four, five, or six of these vehicles in the space that you'd need to park a standard four-door sedan. And it's really cool looking, you know, and it doesn't quite fold up into a briefcase thing like the Jetsons, but it's got kind of this V-frame situation where it's hinged in the middle of the vehicle from front to back, and the whole wheel assembly kind of V's and folds up, and the chassis flips itself up, and you can just, you know, kind of like stack them together the way that you see, you know, the big trolleys at the big lumber yards or like at an IKEA or whatever. And the idea that these things could be part of a community resource rental program, they reckon that this technology would be very, very good for the electrical grid, and if we continue to push hard to, you know, phase out coal-fired power stations and more wind power, geothermal, all these much more green and environmentally friendly ways of producing power, having these things constantly charging all over the grid will only be good, only do good things for the grid, and will actually save in storage losses. And you just got to go and have a look at the graphic of this thing. It's a very, very neat idea. You know, I mean, talk about taking the community bicycle project to an extreme. You know, how cool would it be just to be able to, you know, pull in with one of these vehicles to one of the designated areas? The guy takes it, he parks it. You get done whatever you're doing. You might even pop up in another location. You just go to the nearest depot and grab another one. And off you go. Bob's your uncle. Just really, really, really cool stuff. Now, before we go to the track of the day, I believe Gene sent me this. One of the ninjas sent me this. And
it did give me a laugh. Go by cheatneutral.com, CHEATNEUTRAL.com. And you know, the concept of carbon trading is has some mixed messages. You know, there is a definite side of the argument where big polluters can just buy credits to get their way, you know, make it possible for them to continue to spew out crap and not actually have to try and contain it. Well, this cracked me up. About Cheat Neutral. Cheat Neutral is about offsetting infidelity. We're the only people doing it, and Cheat Neutral is a joke. Carbon offsetting is about paying for the right to carry on emitting carbon. The carbon offset industry sold 60 million pounds of offsets last year and is rapidly growing. Carbon offsetting is also a joke in these people's opinion, and I think when it comes to its possible abuses, yes, it could be considered a joke. And it says, five ways that Cheat Neutral is like carbon trading. One, Cheat Neutral tries to make it seem acceptable to cheat on your partner in the same way carbon offsetting tries to make it acceptable to carry on emitting excess carbon. Two, Cheat Neutral doesn't really do much to reduce the amount of cheating in the world. Carbon offsetting does very little to reduce global carbon emissions. Three, it seems impossible to measure how much harm cheating on someone does. With carbon offsetting, there is currently no practically feasible way of measuring how much carbon offset projects actually save. Four, having Cheat Neutral services available could actually encourage you to cheat more. If the carbon offsetters persuade you that it's possible to offset your emissions, you'll carry on emitting excess carbon through your lifestyle rather than think about reducing your emissions. Cheat Neutral is funding, number five, Cheat Neutral is fundamentally the wrong way to go about solving the problem with your relationships. Carbon offsetting is fundamentally the wrong way to go about tackling climate change. And they actually, and they actually have, some of their so-called projects listed, and one of them is, you know, Steve and Laura met while on holiday in Spain and quickly fell head over heels with each other. That Christmas at his office party, Steve got drunk and unavoidably repeatedly cheated on Lisa with Sherry, a coworker. He paid Cheat Neutral just £2.50, and we invested his money in Alex, a single man with no prospect of finding a partner. In return for the payments, Alex agreed to remain single. Thanks to Cheat Neutral, Steve was able to come clean about his cheating to Lisa, and when he presented her with the Cheat Neutral certificate, they realized they wanted to get married. Their wedding is taking place in the summer. Steve continues to regularly cheat on Lisa, and Cheat Neutral continues to fund projects like Alex with his offset payments. Very well done. Very well done. And I think it makes a really, really great point. So, all right, I think we should get on to the track of the day. Seeing some reports in the news here lately reporting on the fact that London and the UK, or citizens of London, are the most spied on in the world. And we are just under so much more surveillance each and every day. You know, I think that one of the reports said that in London, the average person is observed like almost 80 times per day in their regular kind of daily, you know, doings of things. And really, is this where we want to be, and how Big Brother is it? So, with the concept of Big Brother, I think this is just a great song off of probably my favorite Stevie Wonder record, Talking Book, Superstitious, and other things. But for today, I don't even know if this song was a charter or anything at the time, but you know, this goes back to the 70s, and how little things change. Have a listen to the lyrics. Big Brother, Stevie Wonder. Roll it, Agnes.
Your name is Big Brother. You say that you're watching me on the telly. Seeing me go nowhere. Your name is Big Brother. You say that you're tired of me protesting. all in the mobile, writing it down every day. Your name is, I'll see
your name
you.
Is, I'll see you.
I'll change if you vote me in as a friend. There's a den of your soul. I live in the ghetto. You just come to visit me round election time. Hi.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Goofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II, that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Are you one of the 32 million people that take prescription medications? If you are, you might be affected by dry mouth and be surprised by sudden and rapid development of tooth decay. Dry mouth reduces saliva, making it difficult to swallow or speak, and can contribute to problems such as gum disease and oral infections. Talk to your general dentist today about your treatment options. Visit the Academy of General Dentistry at www.agd.org or call 1-877-2X-A-YEAR. For the Academy of General Dentistry, I'm Dr. Carl Jenkins.
In recognition of our local scout troops' contribution,
recognizing Mrs. Wiley's efforts to rebuild our...
The award for best effort goes to...
It's important to reward good work. That's why the new Conservation Security Program rewards farmers and ranchers who practice good stewardship. The Conservation Security Program rewards the best and motivates the rest. This message is from the U.S. Department of Agriculture Natural Resources Conservation Service.
Welcome back to Foxed Up here for a Monday afternoon, evening, or Tuesday morning, depending on where you reside. And one of my favorite things about Stevie Wonder is, you know, yeah, he's a multi-instrumentalist, just madman. I mean, that album, I do believe he played virtually everything. Drums, bass, all the keyboards, blah, 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 blah. But the thing that I love more than anything is the chromatic harmonica work. It's an amazing instrument, and very few people can master it, and Stevie is a wonder. What can you say? Moving on. There's just so much to get to. Where do we start? It's really, really hard. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Well, real quick, Gene sent this one through right before the show started. From CNN.com, lead-laden lunchboxes okayed by government. Jesus. In 2005, when government scientists tested 60 soft vinyl lunchboxes, they found that 1 in 5 contained amounts of lead that medical experts consider unsafe, and several had more than 10 times hazardous limits. But that's not what they told the public. Instead, the Consumer Protection Safety Commission released a statement that they found no instances of hazardous levels, and they refused to release their actual test results, citing regulations that protected manufacturers from having their information released to the public. Oh, please. The data was not made public until the Associated Press received a box of about 1,500 pages of lab reports, in-house emails, and other records in response to a Freedom of Information Act request filed a year ago. The documents describe two types of tests. One involves cutting a chunk of vinyl of the bag, dissolving it, and then analyzing how much lead is in the solution. The second test involves swiping the surface of a bag and then determining how much lead has rubbed off. Yeah, Agnes, did George have one of these lunch boxes? In 2005? Probably. Oh, man, probably got some sort of bizarro Christian fundamentalist superhero lunchbox. This is where we need oversight, kids. This is sad. This is disgusting. You know, and the Consumer Product Safety Commission should be seriously taken to task over this one. You know, I mean, are they becoming, you know, another ministry of truth? It's the truth as we tell you it is. Okay, another one of these things that falls under the kind of a bit scary. From The Independent, suppressed report shows cancer linked to genetically modified potatoes. I am no fan of genetically modified foods. There's not enough. There's plenty of research that says it ain't a good idea. It's really, really not necessary. If we actually used solid organic farming practices, we wouldn't need the pesticides. We wouldn't need to be creating, you know, mutant strain veggies. But it says here, campaigners against genetically modified crops in Britain last are calling for trials of GM potatoes this spring to be halted after releasing more evidence of links with cancers in laboratory rats. UK Greenpeace activists said the findings obtained from Russian trials after an 8-year court battle with the biotech industry, vindicated research by Dr. Apad Putzai, P-U-S-Z-T-A-I, Putzai, whose work was criticized by the Royal Society and in the Netherlands State Institute for Quality Control. The disclosure last night of the Russian study on the GM Watch website led
to calls for David Miliband, the Secretary of State of Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, to withdraw permission for new trials of GM potatoes to go ahead at secret sites in the UK this spring. They have to make them secret sites because they know that environmental activists will find ways of getting at it because the public doesn't want this stuff. The UK tried to introduce genetically modified fruits and veggies into their markets a few years ago, and because they were forced to label it, no one would buy it. They couldn't sell it. They couldn't give it away. Let's see. Alan Simpson, a Labour MP and Green campaigner, said these trials should be stopped. The research backs up the work of Arpad Puzai, and it shows that he was the victim of a smear campaign by the biotech industry. There's been a cover-up over these findings, and the government should not be party to that. A frickin' men. Mr. Simpson said the findings, which showed that lab rats developed tumors, were released by anti-GM campaigners in Wales. Dr. Puzai and a colleague used potatoes that had been genetically modified to produce a protein, lectin. They found cell damage in rats' stomachs and in parts of their intestines. The research is likely to spark a fresh row over GM crops in Britain. Graham Thompson, a Greenpeace campaigner, said it is important because it backs up the research by Puzai, which was smeared at the time by the industry. You know, this kind of nonsense also relates to something that I was reading over Gail's shoulder last night, that in India, with India becoming a member of the World Trade Organization, I believe, had to change their patent laws. Now there's over 500 pharmaceutical patents being revisited in India, and multinational pharmaceutical companies want to sell only their high-priced trademarked drugs, which they won't produce, but they want to stop the people who cannot afford to buy the drugs at all. They want to make it impossible for them to get them. Our profit or you die. Greed and consumerism has just really, or greed and corporatism has gone way too far on this planet. There's just no doubt about it, people. It's just, it taint on, and it's amazing what can happen, though, when people have the facts at hand. And, you know, as I just mentioned about, you know, GM crops in the UK when they first, you know, put them up at Sainsbury's and other places, the informed public wouldn't buy them. So then what do governments try and do? Make it illegal to label genetically modified foods. You know, so much for freedom, huh? Freedom of choice? You're not, you know, when people are lied to like this, they lose their ability to choose. And to me, that's not freedom at all. In a world where all we do is talk about freedom, 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 freedom. And how's that? I caught in the QNN news as we went to air today, George Bush trying to equate the Revolutionary War to the war on terror. I mean, we're stretching here, buddy. Now, if the Iraqis got together and pushed the Americans and the coalition out, that would be a little bit more akin to a parallel of the Revolutionary War. Because you cannot install democracy. Boy, am I getting off on a tangent here. But that just really, really just... good thing I wasn't drinking coffee, because it would be spewed all over my keyboard and my monitors and my mixer and everything else. That would just be awful. Oh, it's just sad. Anyway, folks, it's coming up on 45 past the hour, so we're going to take our final break of the day here on Foxed Up, and when we come back, we'll cover some more stuff. And I got kind of a neat thing about an outfit called Citizen Renew, and it's an interesting solar power scheme. You, too, could have solar power at no additional cost to you. We'll do that when we get back. So you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and we will be back right after this.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free, and it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
Welcome back. Boxed up here for the last bit of things, and I believe my producer Agnes sent me this, and I think that this is very, very, very cool. You know, do a lot of bitching and moaning about, you know, multinational corporations and lack of environmental, you know, anything. However, one of the key ways to move forward with cleaning up the environment is where business takes a lead. And if you go to renew.citizenry.com, that's renew.citizenry.com, this is an interesting thing. Just from their overview page, it says here, the use of solar electricity is a significant step towards energy independence and also a huge step in preserving our environment. At Citizenry, and Citizenry makes it easy and affordable for virtually any homeowner to take that step. The Citizenry Renew program packages solar power for you in a simple and smart way. Plainly put, the Citizenry Corporation pays for, installs, owns, and operates the solar installation. You don't have to worry about maintaining the equipment or any of the other concerns that come with making an investment into solar power. All you are required to do is pay for the electricity generated from these panels at a fixed rate that is at or below your current electricity price for up to 25 years. And your price is fixed to the length of the contract from what I've been reading. So how's that for the idea that you would know in 25 years the exact price per kilowatt hour you're paying for electricity, and it won't go up with inflation? Their bullet points start with no upfront investment, no need to become a financial expert to justify your investment, no waiting for rebates, no headaches with the city and the utility, let us handle the engineering, procurement, and construction. Performance-based contract means you only pay for what is delivered, and since the solar power you generate will reduce the need for electricity from your power company, your net payment should always be equal to or less than what you're paying now. Hassle-free operating and maintenance, it's handled by the experts. And it's an actual hedge against future utility price increase. You can lock in your rates for the electricity generated from the solar system at your home for a period of up to 25 years, far longer than the guaranteed rates offered by other electricity providers. And they say, but there's plenty more. Take the time to continue through our site. Learn more about clean solar power, blah, 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 blah. So here you have a company that's willing to build the infrastructure for some promise of utilizing the service. And, I mean, we're talking full-on roof-mounted solar systems. I reckon this is something very, very cool. And they've got all kinds of things on their website. The rental agreement, guarantees on the rates, the different contract and period options, security deposit and payments, blah, 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 blah. Yes, Agnes, if we could get someone from this outfit on to have a chat about this, I would love to. I just think that this is where the public via the private sector is doing what needs to be done. And so, I don't know, is this again one of those things like, why hasn't someone thought of this already? Or why is it that our power companies in general aren't doing these kinds of things? I mean, how fast would the uptake be if your local power company said, okay, sign up to us for whatever years, we'll put the solar panels on your house. And for that trade-off of feeding the grid with power, you get a fixed rate and you end up adding to the green grid. I just think it's a fantastic idea. And so they're obviously going to be making their money off of what they sell back to the grid against usage. Brilliant. And if they own the technology, just like when I was, you know, doing production work, I didn't own my own PA systems. I hired them. I left the maintenance and the repairs to somebody else so I could get on with the work of actually doing the work. Same thing would apply here. And wouldn't you think that, you know, say after 10 years, if there was new technology that was just so much more efficient where they were able to actually make a higher rate of profit if they upgraded your house? I mean, this is just me speculating, but I would think that it would have to have some run-on benefits. And if I were a developer and I were, you know, breaking ground on a new community somewhere, I'd be looking to these guys. Say, yeah, mate, come on in. Let's do it. We'll do, you know, and end up with, you know, an entire suburb. I dig this. Then all you need is your compressed air car or your electric car plugged into your green source, and I reckon you're doing pretty well.
Yeah, I would definitely like to speak with these folks further. I just think that that's fantastic. Before we get out of here, a couple other things. Again, from our good friends at treehugger.com. Climate change will equal higher food prices. And see, this is one of the things. We've been getting away with for so long not actually paying for what we use. Virtually everything's been subsidized in one way or another. And one of the biggest problems was the externalizing of environmental costs, deciding that it's someone else's responsibility. Well, we got to get over this idea of green has to also be cheap. It's not necessarily going to be, and there are going to be some hard decisions made where you're going to have to actually absorb some of the cost to do the right thing, but it will end up paying off. A healthier environment means a healthier community. Just, you know, you clean up the air, the respiratory problems and whatnot, you know, flooding emergency rooms and kids with asthma will start to drop. But it says here, according to Merrill Lynch, commodity strategist, San Francisco branch, high oil prices, a desire for energy security, and regulations designed to reduce carbon emissions have prompted governments to favor ethanol as an alternative to petrol as a motor fuel. In Brazil, they use sugar. The price of it has skyrocketed. In America, corn, the price has doubled, and soybeans are being replaced by corn as the crop of choice for many farmers. In Australia, wheat prices are up because of drought. All of the above are fed to cows and pigs, so meat prices are going to rise. As food prices rise, so does inflation, leading to possible higher interest rates and a slowdown in global economic growth. The Economist continues in this cheery vein. As most experts agree, it's simply not plausible for America to gain energy security by switching from oil to corn-based ethanol. There's not enough agricultural land available, nor is it clear that ethanol is really that much greener, given the energy needed to produce it. Ethanol is popular because it appears to be an easy option. It does not require higher taxes or rationing. It keeps the farmers happy, and it makes the government look like it's doing something. Alas, dealing with global warming is likely to be more painful. And I'm absolutely in agreement on that. And when you consider the very simple fact that for every calorie of food we ingest, we've burned 10 calories of fossil fuel to produce that food. And so that would have to come into the same calculation with producing things like corn for ethanol. And, you know, it's a possibility, Agnes. You know, we had a conversation scheduled with an ethanol person on this show, and bit of a no-show. I wonder if he listened and heard my general views, and that I was gonna ask him some tough questions on the technology, because I don't necessarily think it's that green. And wow, we're running out of time fast. So, folks, thanks for joining me again today for Foxed Up. It's great having Agnes back in the chair. Thanks to the Carpenters for everything they do. Thanks to Scott Barry at B1 Ladder Productions for the music. The bloggers, our mods, Peter Godbold at Godbold Computers. You all rock. Thank you so much. We, as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green, and we'll see you tomorrow.
I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment. I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f- If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I...
This is the Quality News Network. In Iraq today, a coordinated insurgent attack on a U.S. base north of Baghdad killed two American soldiers and wounded 17. Eight Iraqi police officers were also killed. It involved at least three suicide car bombs as well as 50 gunmen who opened fire at the outpost. The U.S. military says an American Marine was killed today in the Sunni-dominated Anbar province. Since Friday, five American service members have been killed in fighting there. Also today, a roadside bomb explosion southwest of Baghdad killed three U.S. soldiers and wounded two. In the Baghdad area today, at least 22 people were killed in several bombings. Despite the joint U.S.-Iraqi security crackdown, a massive car bomb attack yesterday in a Shiite area killed at least 63 people. The New York Times reports today that al-Qaeda has regained strength in parts of Pakistan in the tribal area near the Afghan border. American intelligence officials say there is increasing evidence that Osama bin Laden's deputy, Ayman al-Zawahiri, has set up training compounds for militants who are preparing to strike targets beyond Afghanistan. President Bush today marked the President's Day holiday by comparing the American Revolutionary War to the war on global terrorism. He said, quote, "The father of our country believed that freedoms we secured in our revolution were not meant for Americans alone," end quote. In Jerusalem, the latest Middle East summit ended today with little progress except an agreement to meet again for more talks. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice met with Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. In India, two bombs went off on a train, causing a fire that killed at least 66 people late Sunday. The train was headed for Pakistan. An Indian government official said the attack was sabotage aimed at undermining the India-Pakistan peace process.